What's going on, gym rats? This is Mr. Fundamental here. This is Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. This is actually the podcast. This is not the RTE version. This is where we're just talking all sports, like mainstream sports. Like today, we're going to be talking NFL Super Bowl. We'll also be talking the NBA trade deadline and where it's going. So like I said, this is a podcast for my show, Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. You can find this on Anchor, on an Anchor app, as well as the Spotify app. So every week I'm going to be doing an hour show where we just be talking main sports, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and so forth. So I'll also have this on Facebook Live and YouTube as well. So you guys watching at home and Facebook, you can comment. Let me know if you can hear me well, because I'm in a different room. And also let me know how I look and things like that. But we're going to get right after it right away. I see Randy Lyles is on. So let me know how I sound and how it looks. But we're going to go ahead and get this started with Super Bowl talk. I know yesterday was a tough game for the average fan. You know, a 13-3 game, a lot of people were chiming in saying it was really boring and things like that. I understand as an average fan, it would be boring. A lot of times in a Super Bowl, you want to see a high-scoring, high-action game like last year between the Philadelphia Eagles and New England Patriots. I understand that was an exciting game. As a Patriot fan for myself, I didn't care. As long as we got the W, I was happy. You know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, they're just building on their GOAT status. I mean, talk about, wow, six Super Bowls for guys like that and the way they did it, you know, defensively. No one expected that. Let me tell you something. I never expected a 13-3 game. If you would have said, hey, there's only going to be 16 points scored in this game, I would have bet you the house that that wouldn't have happened. And you would own my house if that happened. Because, man, the defenses on both sides were just stellar. You know, to stop a high-powered offense like that, especially the Patriots' defense, you know, known as a pass, as a bend but not break, I was expecting, you know, the Rams to score at least 25, even 30 points. They averaged 32.9 points a game. And the Patriots only allowed 3. Now, as a Patriot fan, you know, all season long, our biggest question mark was the defense. But in the playoffs, they stepped it up another level. And you're talking about only one Pro Bowl player on that defense, an All-Pro in Stephon Gilmore. But still, the way they dominated that game was just impressive. For Rams fans, you got a lot to look forward to. You got a young team, a young superstar coach, everybody pretty much coming back next year for the LA Rams. I mean, the only free agents you guys really got to worry about is Dexter Fowler, Ndamukong Suh, and Sam Shields, and maybe CJ Anderson. But everybody else is coming back next season. And that's a big plus for the LA Rams fans, because they got everything they need. They got all of the talent. They got the experience now. And I expect them to be back. You know, looking at the rest of the NFC, I mean, New Orleans, are they going to feel that hangover for where they felt like they got robbed? Is Drew Brees going to be the same Drew Brees he was a year ago? Will Seattle make a jump, challenge them a little bit? Will San Francisco be any better? I'm not sure. So I think right now, if you look at the NFC side, unless the Cowboys make a move, it's going to be the LA Rams to lose in the future. Now you look on the AFC side, I mean, yes, you can say this year, and especially as a Pats fan, I really felt like this wasn't going to be our year. Every other year before this, I always said, we have a chance. We can make the Super Bowl. We can win it. This was the first time in a very long time where I felt the Patriots were not going to make it. Like, I was the least confident in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots even getting past the LA Chargers in the divisional round. But once again, they proved us wrong. And as a Patriot fan, you're just like super spoiled and happy. But how long can they do this? Now, you're looking at the Patriots next season. They got a few free agents that they have to deal with. You know the kicker, Steven Gostkowski, Cordell Patterson, Chris Hogan, which will probably let go. Trey Flowers, big one, and Trent Brown, the left tackle. You know, Trent Brown made him a lot of money. Now, in the Patriots, you know, they did draft a young guy, Isaiah Wynn, early rounds at left tackles, and he was injured this year and out for the season. So if Trent Brown does bolt to get more money, they do have a backup as that. With that said, the Patriots do have one first rounder, two second rounders, two third rounders to get that team back to where they need to replenish some of that talent. Because if you watch the Patriots this year was not the most talented Patriots team. You can actually argue it's probably the least talented Patriots team in the last 18 years, and they still got it done. Now, next year, obviously, in the AFC, Kansas City is going to be the favorite again. But can the Patriots do it again next year? I believe they can. Until Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are gone, the Patriots are always going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender. Now, I do got to say this. This Super Bowl, to me, has just showed the future what the Patriots going to be. I think the Patriots now, they're going to have to depend more on their defense than Tom Brady. So it's going to be like the circle of life where Tom Brady is going to be more of a game manager towards the end of his career. Yeah, when they need a drive, Tom Brady is going to be clutch and magical, and he's going to deliver. But I think now they're going to have to build more towards defense. Yeah, they need that long ball threat in the wide receiver. I think they'll get one. What's very interesting about, Josh Gordon, everybody's bringing up Josh Gordon. He will get a Super Bowl ring, and the Patriots are still actually paying and watching his progress in rehab, which is very interesting. Does that mean they're going to re-sign him and then take whatever ban he gets? To me, I think he's going to be banned for the rest of the league. But the Patriots, like I said, they are actually paying for his rehab and watching him closely on his rehab. So therefore, will Josh Gordon be back next year? I mean, I would think that he would be banned another 16 games or for life. But we don't know, like, how bad what he did exactly. So, you know, Patriots definitely back next year. Obviously, KC's the favorite. But like I said, until Tom Brady and Bill Belichick retire, it's going to be tough to take him off that mountain. But with the Super Bowl, like I said, being 13-3, I think the Patriots are going full circle back to where they were 17 years ago, where Tom Brady more manages the game and then has the defense win it. So I expect the Patriots to bulk up in the draft on some defense, try to find a deep threat on offense, and then continue. Now, another big question is Rob Gronkowski going to retire? That's a tough question. I mean, he looked really good in the playoffs, but I understand, you know, if you watch him play and the pounding he takes, you know, it's very tough. He came into the league with a back issue. He's more worried about his overall health. If I was a betting man, I would actually say he comes back. And I think he comes back because of Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady will talk him into at least one more year. But I wouldn't be surprised if he retired either. If he does retire, what a great career. He's a Hall of Famer in my book, one of the best to ever do it. And then that'd be a tough void for the Patriots to fill. But if anybody can fill it, is Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Now, other teams we got to look out for next year, because everybody, you know, after the Super Bowl, you got your favorites. Everybody's saying it's KC. Then you got LA Rams, the Patriots, the Saints, and then the LA Chargers, I believe, is 14-1. But there's one team that I'm telling you got to watch out for next year, and that is the Indianapolis Colts. Not only did they have a great year, they still got a superstar quarterback. They got a great coach. And they also have $109 million in cap space to play with. You're talking about they can get Bell and Brown to that offense to make that offense high-flying. They can bring in some players. They still got their draft picks. That team is going to be a team to be reckoned with. I can see them making what you call the LA Ram jump. You know how the LA Rams this past year, they spent a lot of money. You know, they traded for Peters. They, you know, got Ndamukong Suh. They brought in all kinds of talent. You know, they traded for Cooks. They brought in all this money to fill up their cap, and they went right to the Super Bowl. I can see the Colts doing the same thing next year. So everybody talking Chiefs and Patriots, I would actually watch out for the Colts. For you Texans fans, you guys got $64 million in cap space. So if you guys can get a deep threat or even a good slot receiver and you'll build on that offense to build around their quarterback there, they can make some noise as well. You know, and that will be very interesting to see what will happen there with the Colts and the Patriots and all them. But what a Super Bowl. Tell me what you guys thought about the commercials there. You know, I'm not really a huge fan of the commercials, but since now I'm doing these podcasts and this sports show talk, if you guys just joined me, this is Game Point with Mr. Fundamental, but this is the sports talk side. This is not the RTE sports talk. This is just general sports talk. I got a podcast that will be on the Anchor app. We're also going to put it on Spotify, also here on Facebook Live, and then I'm going to have a YouTube channel where you guys can check it out. So once a week, I'm going to talk sports. You guys can chime in with me. I'll try to read them, you know, and we'll go back and forth. Hopefully, I can build this up more where, I can have my own little show, have some phone lines where we can talk, you know, just like anybody else, like, you know, Adam Shines on Sirius Radio and Mad Dog Sports and stuff like that. Because, you know, like I said, I love talking sports. You know, I love talking sports to you guys as well. So moving on, we're talking about the commercials. I thought there was a few clever commercials out there. I don't think the commercial was as great as in years past. But some of the commercials I liked the Bud Light Special Delivery one. That was the one where the king was trying to deliver the corn syrup. He went to the, you know, Coors Light and the Miller Light Castles. I thought that was a really clever commercial, you know, taking a stab at the ingredients of their competitors' ingredients there, having corn syrup, you know, trying to, you know, turn the consumer off those beers to Bud Light. I thought that was very clever, you know, so I think that was one of my favorites. Excuse me for coughing. I thought the Bud Light one, when they came with the Game of Thrones, where they're doing the jousting and then here came the dragon, you know, burning the Bud Light guy. That was pretty clever in itself. You know, bringing, I like when you got two companies or a show and a company that come together and make a commercial. That was very, very good. Obviously, the NFL 100th year game where Marshawn Lynch tries to get on the cake, knocks the football down. It's a fumble. You got all these superstars of old, new coming in. Hall of Famers, Joe Montana. I thought that was really cool. Some of the ones I thought were duds was the TurboTax Child. You know, I thought that was kind of a little lame, you know, with the, you know, it was a child with a robot, you know, that wanted to, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a TurboTax accountant. I thought that was kind of a lame. Also, the Turkish Airlines was a little lame as well. You know, I don't think anybody's going to watch their little film, you know, so I thought that was, I'd give that a F. Devour, the food porn, you know, that one, I didn't like that commercial. But let me tell you something, a lot of people that say, like, for commercials that fail, especially when it's a company that you're not really familiar with, they still win. I thought it was a terrible commercial, but they're still going to win because shows like mine, you know, talk shows and everything else, and people in general are going to say, what was one of the worst commercials? They're going to say that Devour commercial. But now you know what Devour is. You know that you might be looking for it in the frozen section at your grocery store and things like that. So, hey, you know, it was very interesting. The night, like I said, as a casual fan, I know it kind of, you know, didn't, you know, fulfill your entertainment value at 13-3, but that's how some games are going to be played. I would have never expected, like I said, I would have bet my house, that if you would have said only 16 points would have been scored in this Super Bowl, I would have bet the house, and I'd be on the streets right now because, boy, was that in just insane. But like I said, congratulations to the Patriots. Congratulations to the Rams. Like I said, the Rams, to me, are going back to the Super Bowl. I don't see another NFC team going out there and improving. You know, I know Seattle's got some cap space where they can improve. But like I said, as long as they don't have that Super Bowl hangover like you see some teams do, you know, even the Eagles, they won last year. They didn't even make the Super Bowl, but I kind of blame that on injuries. But, you know, a lot of other participants, you know, like the Carolina Panthers, you know, they went 15-1. They went to the Super Bowl, lost. Excuse me. The very next year, they weren't even anywhere near where they needed to be. So, you know, we'll move on. Like I said, this is a Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. This is my podcast. You know, I'm going to try this out for a while. Like I said, I love talking sports. I'm the type of guy that is in the car and talking sports to myself. I don't even have the radio on. So if you see me driving on the road and my mouth moving, I'm not even talking on the phone half of the time. I'm talking to myself. I love sports. And I'm hoping that some of you guys will love listening to me. And, you know, we'll keep moving on with talking sports, because that's what I could do. Like I said, again, I'm going to be on the Anchor app, Spotify. I might mess around with Twitter. You know, I'm not really sure. It's just because, you know, I'm not very technology guy. I'm not a very good at technology. I'm just learning. But I want to give a shout out to my wife, because she's the one that told me I should do this. I think it's a great idea. She said that a lot of my friends from out of town, when I'm talking RTE sports, said, you know, I like your show. It's just, I don't know what you're talking about, because I'm talking about a league out here in the Woodlands. I'm still going to do that show. I got a show tonight around 9 p.m. I'm going to go through the semifinals predictions of the Wednesday night UCL. So check me out there. But we're going to go ahead and move on with the show. So we did the Super Bowl talk. We did commercials. Don't have any sponsors yet, so you're not going to hear me say, oh, by the way, if on the way home, go pick up some McDonald's. I'm not going to do that. Don't have any sponsors. Like I said, I'm doing this more just to do stuff that I love, and that's talk sports, and hopefully you guys will love joining me week by week. I'm going to try to do this every week. I'm going to try to pick a good day. I think Monday around 2:30 works out pretty good. And I'll see where it goes. You know, hopefully if it gets big, great. If it doesn't, that's fine. You know, at least I got to try. You know, they always say if you try something, you can look back and never say you didn't. And so here you go. I'm doing it. I'm going to give this a try. So we're going to move on. Our NFL talk is out and over. NBA is in. NBA trade talk. Jay deadline this Thursday. And let me tell you something. The NBA actually hit a home run last week. You got Super Bowl week going full strength right into Super Bowl week. And the NBA, I swear, if you went to all the talk shows, all you can hear was NBA talk. And this is because Anthony Davis requested a trade. One of the best players in the NBA, top three in my mind. I would say he is number three behind LeBron and maybe Kevin Durant. Some people would argue that the Greek Freak is better than Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is one-of-a-kind talent. He's a guy that can really turn the franchise around. But he did request a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, last week on my show, I said and I predicted that this is huge for the city of Seattle. And what I meant by that is Davis leaving New Orleans really hurt the New Orleans franchise, because first off, even with him, who's a top three player, very marketable, they were 25th in attendance. And this is big, because it shows that New Orleans itself, that they don't support an NBA team, even with the superstar. They didn't really support the team last year when they were pretty good, and the year before. Therefore, my prediction was I think they would move to Seattle. Well, I had to do some research, because obviously if you're going to have a talk show, you got to start doing more research. And I did my research and realized Gail Benson owns the team. And I'm thinking, well, they might not move, because Gail Benson is a native of New Orleans and she owns the New Orleans Saints as well. So for her to move the team to Seattle, I don't think she ever would. So, sorry, Seattle. You know, I really want to see an NBA team in Seattle. Maybe Gail will sell the team and they can move it to Seattle. But I really see that franchise, the New Orleans Hornets, not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, you had a player that was just a top three player that can change a team. and you still couldn't get any sales. You still couldn't get any wins. And that's huge. You need to have that support. And really, that is the only thing that New Orleans supports is the Saints, the LSU Tigers. I mean, they're really not going to support anything else NBA-wise. So I really think it's a waste to see a team in New Orleans. I really want to see a team get pushed back to Seattle. I think that would be big to get a team back in Seattle. But let's move on to this trade talk. Some of the trades that have gone by, you know, some of the big ones, Porzingis, he went to the Dallas Mavericks for Dennis Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews. Dallas did get Hardaway as well and Courtney Lee. This was obviously a salary dump for the New York Knicks, and we're going to talk why they did this in a little bit, but I'm going to talk who wins this trade, who loses this trade. Obviously, a lot of people say Dallas won this trade because now you got two upcoming superstars in Doncic and Porzingis to team up. I say pump the brakes on it a little bit just because the fact that, you know, Porzingis is coming off a major knee injury, and do we know if he's injury prone or not? I mean, he's a really frail guy if you really look at him. He's still got to strengthen up a little bit more. If he can stay healthy, I think that Doncic slash, you know, Porzingis will work. They'll need some other pieces. I know Mark Cuban is going to do his best to bring in other free agents, especially since both of these guys, well, Doncic's on a, he is on his rookie deal. Obviously, Porzingis, his deal is up. He's actually a restricted free agent this year. And if you really look at Porzingis' contract, if you and Porzingis' camp as his agent, all he's going to do is just take the qualifying offer, which is going to be, I think, a one-year, whatever the rookie scale is. It might be like an $8 million or something like that, because I'd have to look it up, but it'd be around $8 to $10 million just 1 year, because obviously coming off a knee injury, no one's going to give you a max deal. They'd probably give you in the vicinity of like maybe 3 years, $60 million at the most, which is not a max deal, which is $20 million, which is actually a good deal for a Dallas Maverick team. So he's going to do a one-year deal. So now, you know, Mark Cuban can possibly bring in another superstar in between these guys' rookie deals and see what happens. So Dallas, I think that was a great move for Dallas. As for the New York Knicks, this was a bold move, but guess what? Porzingis didn't want to be there, so guess what? Clean house. Go ahead and clean house. You got one of the worst records in the NBA anyway. And then on top of that, you bring in a Dennis Smith, who I'm actually really intrigued with. Dennis Smith is a really good talent at the point guard position. As you see, when Dallas picked up Doncic, it really hurt Dennis Smith's value, and it also hurt his game. I think the change in scenery will help Dennis Smith, and hopefully he can turn out to be not so much a franchise point guard, but a good starting point guard that can help this team when they bring in free agents. And this is where I'm getting at. They did this deal. They did bring on DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, both of them expiring deals. This gives the Knicks over $100 million in cap space. Therefore, they can actually sign two max and almost three max free agents if they do it just right. And this is where the NBA blew up even more after this trade, right in the middle of the Super Bowl. You're supposed to be talking about Patriots-Rams, and all everybody was talking about was Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks. What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. Well, first off, the Knicks, they've done this before. They've been this before. They traded away all kinds of pieces. They dumped it where they had a bunch of salary. They were going for LeBron James. I think it was in 2009. Maybe it was 2010. And the only person they brought in is Amar Stoudemire. And then they traded for Carmelo Anthony. So it didn't work out. I think what's going to happen, and I think you can see Joshua say they want KD, Kyrie, and Zion. Yes, and Josh Rodriguez, you're right. They're, you know, if they get that first pick, they get Zion, they can get two superstars, and that could be Kyrie and KD, and you already got a team, you know, and then you can build around that, you know, with pieces. Because obviously, if you got two superstars to a team, it'll attract veterans, because, you know, there's a lot of hungry veterans out there that want to win a championship, and that's why you see like guys like David West, who went to the Golden State Warriors a year or two ago, because, you know, he was chasing a championship. So, he, you know, that's a good piece to have off the bench. Now, with that said, Like, this is what I would do. Like, the Knicks, they could strike out. Like, this is what I see. And I'm going to go into it more because we're going to get back to Celtics and Kyrie and what I think. If Kyrie really wants out of Boston, then I can see a KD slash Kyrie go to New York. I also can see AD and Kyrie go to New York. Reports came out earlier that Anthony Davis said he'll sign for re-sign for a handful of teams, one of them being the Lakers, one of them being the Knicks, but he said that he will not re-sign for the Celtics. Now, that puts a lot of interest, that puts a kink in maybe what the Celtics are going to do, because when the Lakers, when AD said, hey, I want to trade, it opened the door for the Lakers. It pretty much said, hey, I want to get traded to the Lakers. So the Pelicans were looking at it like, okay, let's see what the Lakers are going to give us. But they know in the summer, the Celtics could give them a better deal. Now, should this deter you if you're Danny Ainge? Because in reality, Anthony Davis is signed through 2020. So even with his opt-out of 2021. So in reality, Ainge can still trade for Anthony Davis and have a full year with him to convince him to stay in Boston. And if I were Danny Ainge, I would still do it, because I really don't believe Kyrie Irving wants to leave. I believe the Celtics are going to be fine. I know Kyrie was a little disappointing because the Celtics, I think they're now the 4th seed, but they were the 5th seed for a while. They weren't playing up to par. He was upset. You know, he reached out to LeBron, you know, to apologize, saying, oh, now I know how it feels to be a leader and how tough it is. Well, guess what? Does that mean he's going to leave? I mean, I love how the media, and deservingly so, the media, they always hype out everything. Could it happen? Yes. He might just want to leave, period. But let me tell you something. Trader Danny, being Danny Ainge, the GM of the Boston Celtics, he talks to Kyrie every day. Let me tell you something. If Kyrie even gave a little bit of hesitation about if Danny said, went to Kyrie and said, hey, what's your chances of re-signing this year? If Kyrie gave Danny Ainge a little doubt that he was going to stay, Kyrie will be traded by Thursday. Because Danny, in his eyes, like he went to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie. So you might as well, okay, well, if Kyrie don't want to be here, we're going to trade him and get whoever we can get. You might be able, you can get a superstar in return. You know, you definitely can get somebody that can, you can bring in to help the Celtics in the future. You might even get some great draft picks. And then he can still go after AD, which I don't think will happen. What I think is going to happen is, I still think, let me tell you something right now, and you can quote me on this, the Celtics will win the East. Do you, and then Josh right here says, do you think, I have to turn sideways, Milwaukee is a legit threat to the Warriors if they were to meet in the finals? Let me tell you something about Milwaukee, Josh. That's a good question. And we'll get into that as well. I'm going to finish the Celtics thought right now, but I'm going to get into the Milwaukee. Like I just said, and I hope I answered your question, because that means Milwaukee's not getting a championship, because I really do think the Celtics will get to the finals. And I think the Celtics will challenge Golden State. I don't think they would actually beat Golden State, but they would actually challenge them. They would challenge them because they're so long. They got a lot of good defenders. They got what they need to defend the Golden State Warriors. I don't think they got enough firepower left yet, because they are still young. I think Gordon Hayward, and I know it's unfair to him, because now the Celtic fans are starting to turn on Gordon Hayward. And as a Celtic fan, I think that's sick. Here's why. This guy broke his leg, and a lot of people are comparing him to Paul George. Paul George, when he came back still an all-star. He came back a lot quicker, but you have to understand, Paul George is a different athlete than Gordon Hayward. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Gordon Hayward is not going to be the same Gordon Hayward until the beginning of next year. I really do. I think this year he's shown flashes, but like I said, I don't think they need him to be a superstar level. I think they need to keep him on the bench like they do, play him as 24 minutes, and hopefully he gives you 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Those have been his good games. He shows flashes of it, but they don't need him to be that because the Celtics weren't built to win this year. They're built to win in future years. Can they win this year? Yes, they can. I don't think they will beat the Golden State Warriors. I still think they'll win in the East. I really do. They are starting to come around, and they're going to make it happen. They got too much talent over there. They can defend. They're long. They're athletic. Brad Stevens will get it right. Quote me when I say this. The Boston Celtics will represent the East in the NBA Finals. Going to your question, Josh, in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is probably, I would say, they're number three in the East because I think Toronto is better. Toronto is deeper. But Milwaukee is very impressive. Milwaukee probably, in my eyes, my biggest surprise in Milwaukee has been their defense. If you look at their stats, they're the number one team in the league when it comes to contesting shots. And in this NBA, when you got guys shooting threes left and right, guess what? You definitely need that category. That's what the teams give, like teams like Golden State problems. If you're contesting everything of Curry's, of their shooters, you're going to have a chance. It's when you get shooters just shooting wide open, like you see the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, all those open threes and no one's contesting them. Guess what? You're in trouble, you know. And Lolio says here, and sorry I have to turn sideways. My phone is sideways. AD lists the Bucks as a place he would consider re-signing with. Well, see, this is where things get interesting. Lolio, I'm glad you brought that up because now, since you have the Knicks and you have Milwaukee on that list, you might have just took the Lakers right out the running. You upped the ante. Now you got teams like the Knicks, since they know they can resign, go ahead and see if you can trade for them now. But see, the Knicks are thinking, well, why would we trade for AD? Because it's going to cost us a number one pick, which will cost us, you know, Zion Williams, right, from Duke. Like I said, it's going to take him away. So the Knicks will probably be hesitant on that. They probably won't give that first pick. Now, if you're Milwaukee, you don't have a lot of picks. You got Chris Middleton, but you up the ante. Does Milwaukee got more than the LA Lakers? If I had a producer, so this is the only thing about my podcast that I'm at a disadvantage, you know, from like the Stephen A. show or the Adam Schein show with Mad Dog Sports. You know, they got guys in the background doing their, you know, research and things like that. Does Milwaukee have enough? Does Milwaukee have enough to get AD in? Imagine AD and the Greek Freak on the same squad. Now, they do got Chris Middleton. I think they would trade Chris Middleton away. Thon Maker, who wants to be traded anyway. Would it be enough? Would it be better than what the Lakers are offering? Would it be better than what the Celtics will offer in the summertime? Like I said, I still think the Celtics will have a better offer. Now, it's all going to depend on Kyrie. Let's say the Celtics do make a run and they get to the finals. I think Kyrie's going to stay. He'll resign. And then since Kyrie and AD are buddies, I can really see AD coming to Boston anyway. And then if they win a championship together, he'll resign. Now, as a Celtic person or a Celtic GM, is it worth trading for a guy to win a championship 1 year? I say yes, it is, because it's hard to win a championship. You saw when the Celtics got their big three with KG, you know, Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, they only won one championship. They could have won multiple. I think they could have repeated, but then KG got hurt that next year, so they didn't even make the finals. I think Orlando did. They lost to the Lakers. And then in 2010, they win again, and Kendrick Perkins got hurt in game six. They ended up losing game seven in LA. Do what you can to win a championship. It is hard to win a championship in any sport. So when you have a chance to get a player, even if you think it's going to be a one-year rental, I mean, if you trade for him this summer, you're going to have him the whole season. You're going to have him the whole offseason, training camp, so he's going to be up to speed. I understand trading for Anthony Davis now, and he became a free agent at the end of the season. I know that's tougher because now you're bringing him in halfway through this, actually more than halfway through the season, trying to get everybody to gel to win a championship. What do I think is going to happen? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen in this trade deadline, especially with the news coming out that he'll sign for New York. I don't think New York's going to budge because I think in New York's mind, they're thinking, okay, we're going to get Zion and we're going to get two free agents anyway. We're going to get Kyrie. We're going to get, you know, Kevin Durant, and we're going to just kick butt with those three guys. So I don't think the Knicks are – they're going to wait till the summer. They're going to wait till the summer to make any trades. Now, if they strike out – let's say they strike out and like I'm saying, I could see them sign DeMarcus Cousins. Like striking out, not getting anybody. KD staying in Golden State. I can see Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is one of those players. If I were New York, you don't sign him because he's one of those players that need a superstar around him to be great. He's not, you look at him play. The guy is one of the best shooters in NBA history, but the dude needs, there was a game where he scored 44 points and took three dribbles. So he's not a guy that can create for himself. So you cannot build a team around Klay Thompson. So Klay Thompson's either going to the Lakers with LeBron or he's staying in Golden State. Now, if he stays in Golden State, do they keep KD as well? Can they afford that? We'll see. But I think that, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins is gone. Because DeMarcus Cousins, he just signed on. And he went to the most perfect spot. He signed for $5.3 million. And he's going to get himself a championship. And he doesn't have that pressure to perform at a super high level, which so far he's looked great. I think he had 18 and 10 the other night. He's fitting in really well. It's a perfect situation for him. But I can see DeMarcus Cousins going to New York. So my prediction for the NBA next year, I really think, like I said, the Celtics will win the East. Kyrie will stay. The Celtics will trade for Anthony Davis. And then what are the Lakers going to do? Because you got a LeBron James that is 34, going on 35 years old. Going on 35 years old. And if you're an AD, why would you want to go to the Lakers? That was one of the questions I had. If I were AD, I'd rather go to the Celtics with Kyrie, who is the same age, is about 25, 26, than go to, you know, LeBron James and Los Angeles. Because one thing he did say, he's talking about his legacy. Well, guess what? Legacy has a lot to do with championships. And I think they can win a lot in Boston. And in Boston, they're giving way too much. I mean, just, they got all these draft picks that no one has. And they got the young players. They got Jaylen Brown. They got it all over there. I mean, you can name, with the Lakers, they got Kyle Kuzman, which, you know, he's just a shooter. A lot of Laker fans, it was funny when this trade came out, they were like, well, don't give up Kuzma. And I'm thinking, why not? He's just a shooter. You can get one of those anytime you want. Everybody acts like he's a top five shooting guard in the NBA. I don't even think he's a top five shooting guard in the NBA. I can name a bunch. Klay Thompson, you know, James Harden. You know, there's two right there. DeMar DeRozan, there's three. You know, I mean, there's just too many good shooting guards out there where, you know, Kuzma, I would trade, if I were the Lakers, I would trade everybody except LeBron James. I would trade Luke Walton. I would trade the ball boy. I would trade Jack Nicklaus. I would trade them all just to get Anthony Davis over there. Because if they can get Anthony Davis there, oh my God, it's going to be lights out. But for how many years? How long can LeBron sustain what he's doing? So Anthony Davis, I still predict he will go to the Celtics. A lot of people are going to say, well, because you're a Celtic fan. No, because I think the Celtics are a great place to be. Even if he stays for 1 year and leaves, which I don't think he would do, because like I said, Kyrie and AD are friends too. So when the season ends, Danny Ainge is going to talk to Kyrie. Danny Ainge is going to talk again to Anthony Davis. And Kyrie is going to say, okay, I'll resign if we get Anthony Davis. That's going to happen. I really think that will happen. So, you know, great. You know, it's going to be a great couple days. You already know how the NBA trade deadline is. In the past, we've talked about all these major trades. Nothing happens. And then when we sit there and we talk about no trades, major trades happen. Like, no one saw the trade with Porzingis happen. It happened. I really believe that... Like, I think AD is going to stay. It's going to be a rough second half of the year from New Orleans because you know he's going to get booed. You know, he gave up on the city, and it's going to be tough. But I think he will end up with Boston. Kyrie will still sign with Boston. The Celtics will still win the East this year, and Golden State will win a championship, you know, barring any injuries to any team. And Jason Tatum will be included in the trade, and that's why New Orleans is looking at it like, that piece right there, Jason Tatum by himself, is better than any trade that any other team can give him. and tell me I'm wrong, because I'm not. You got to put the new, don't put your fan hat on. Don't put your Celtic fan hat on. Don't put your New York Knicks fan hat on. Don't put your Lakers. Be the New Orleans GM and tell me, look me in the eye. I know you can't look me in the eye because, you know, this is radio and this is Facebook Live. And tell me New Orleans is willing to take the Lakers, Ball, Kuzma, over Jason Tatum, a bunch of picks. Jason Tatum, if you watch him, he is going to be a superstar in this league. So, like I said, he will end up there. Now, I know a lot of you guys are Rockets fans, so let's talk about the Rockets. Are the Rockets going to do anything? Do they need to do anything? I believe they do. They really do. The Rockets right now, they are just riding on Harden's coattail, and it's the regular season. And guess what? I can see the Rockets going out in the first round. Let me tell you why. Right now in the regular season, let me tell you something, guys, and I know this sounds bad, but the NBA regular season means nothing. Means nothing. No one goes hard anymore. No one plays tough defense. Yeah, you see flashes here and there, you know, a game here and there where everybody gets up for one game. But overall, no one's playing their full game. No one's playing their full capacity of defense, especially the teams that are considered top teams in the NBA. They don't do that anymore. I mean, come on. When the playoffs come, there's going to be a different defense played on Harden. You've seen it in the playoffs the last couple years. Has Harden dominated in the playoffs last year? No, he was horrible. Was it because he sucks? No, it was because the defense changed. The defense changed. They're going to say, okay, let's not let that guy beat us. So we're going to put all our energy into beating James Harden. Chris Paul, at first when you got him, it was great. But when you re-signed him for that 5 years or whatever it was, $160 million, that is going to hurt the Rockets. The Rockets right now are in some huge trouble. Do I think they can make some noise? Yes, because they got some pieces, but I don't think they have the same magic they'd have last year. They don't have that 3-and-D guy. So here's what I would do. I would knock on Orlando's door, okay? And there's a guy that can score the ball a little bit. Defensively, he's but he's a small forward. And that'd be Terrence Ross, because Orlando is going to blow some stuff up a little bit. And you know, they're going to get ready for the draft. I don't know if they're going to re-sign Gordon, things like that. You know, Orlando's kind of just been just floating around, not doing much. But that's a guy you can go after, maybe. Terrence Ross, you could probably get him for 2 second-round picks. I know the Rockets don't have many, if any, first-round picks, so you could probably pry him away because they needed another guy that can score the ball a little bit, long, athletic, play some D. Terrence Ross might be your best bet. So that's what I would do if I were you guys there in H-Town. Because I'm telling you guys, it's going to look bad for H-Town, because if they get out of the playoffs quick this year, which I expect, I can see them going out in the first round. I really do, especially, if they play like a team like Portland again or even Utah, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, I don't think. Now, would I be surprised if Houston made it all to the Western Conference Finals again? No, I wouldn't, because they have that firepower in Harden. But how much more can Harden take? Guys, I don't care how old you are. When you're in the NBA, it takes a toll. 82 games, and especially him playing like 40 minutes a game, launching all those shots, it takes a toll. It takes a toll. What are you going to do in the future? And when it comes playoffs, it turns into a half-court game. It turns into defense is locked in on you. I mean, you have to understand, in the regular season, like I said, means nothing. Check it out. Like, I'm the Boston Celtics, or I'm whatever team, and I got Philly coming in Boston on a Friday night, right? Okay, we're going to play them. Yeah, we know a little bit about them because they're in our division. Okay, we're playing them. We're going to play our game, our game plan, and we're going to play. Houston comes in the next night. It's a back-to-back for us, right? We're not giving that much energy. I'm not playing Kyrie Irving 40 minutes that game so we can beat the Rockets in the regular season. I'm just going to play my basic defense, my basic offense, boom. In the playoffs, it changes. Now, this is where we do all the scouting as coaches. We're going to scout you to the T. We're going to find out what your biggest weaknesses are, and that's what we're going to exploit. We're going to take your business strengths and just take him away. The biggest strength for the Houston Rockets is who? James Harden. And they're not going to let him beat him. And that's why you've seen Harden in the past, in the playoffs, not do anything because the defense has changed. So if you, the Rockets, you should be very concerned. I say first round exit. You can hate me for it, but I'm telling you the facts. And then you got next year, your cap is just terrified or messed up beyond belief. You got Chris Paul, another year older, who can't even stay on the court more than 5 minutes because he's pulling every muscle. I love Chris Paul as a player, but guess what? You need more. You need more over there, and the Rockets don't have it. So like I said, guys, this is Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. This is a podcast that I'm doing. I'm doing this on Facebook Live as well. It's also going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on the Anchor app. So these are my podcasts that I'm going to do every week. This is just me talking sports in general. This is not about RTE Sports. I still doing my Game Point, Mr. Fundamental, RTE Sports every Monday night. This is what me and my wife are talking about. You know, before going to bed, we sit there and we talk for hours. We talk to 3 o'clock in the morning. One of my listeners was actually from Colorado and said, he actually gave me a call and said, man, I really like your show, but I don't know what you're talking about. And the reason why is because RTE is a league out here in the Woodlands that we're trying to grow, that I'm the president of. And it's a great league to play in, but a lot of people outside the Woodlands don't know what it is, but they like listening to, you know, my sports take. And like I said earlier in the show, I'm a guy that loves to talk sports. I talk sports in my car all by myself, to myself. Might look like an idiot, but like I said, I love sports. So my wife says, why don't you make a podcast? I was like, what's a podcast? Because I'm an idiot and I don't know anything about technology. She explained it to me. So I got this mic in front of me. I don't know if you can see it, but see, I don't know if you can see it. No, you can't, but it's right here. Got this mic in front of me. I'm talking into the computer at the same time I'm talking into the live broadcast, and I'm hoping I get traction. If 10 people listen to it, awesome. I'll be impressed. You know, if something comes big out of it, great. If nothing, I'm just going to talk anyway and no one can listen to me. But at least I'm doing what I love, and that is talking sports. Now, we're going to J-Rod right here. And like I said, I'm sorry I'm turning sideways. But J-Rod says, Lakers have just offered New Orleans 2 first-round picks, Rondo, Kuzma, Lance Stephenson, Ball, Ingram, and Beasley for AD. Now, okay. If you New Orleans, Josh, if you New Orleans listeners, would you take it? Because let me tell you something. First off, Rondo, he's on a one-year deal. He's gone. So he's not going to help you. Kuzma, I already told you about that. He's a shooter. You can get those a dime a dozen. Lance Stephenson, he's on a one-year deal. He's a head case. They're just going to release him anyway. So you're talking about players to match salary. Rondo, you're probably going to release or, you know, tell him to get out of here. You didn't keep him last year. Lance Stephenson ain't worth it. Ball, come on now. I mean, who wants that? Ball, he's an okay player, but who wants all that BBB and the daddy ball problem? So what good does that do New Orleans? Now, I'm putting my New Orleans hat on here, okay? Then you got Ingram. Now, Ingram's a guy, when he came out of college, they thought he was going to be special. Let me tell you about Ingram. Guys, this is what I'm talking about. For a casual NBA fan, this is where Mr. Fundamental, you got to listen to Mr. Fundamental. I watch these guys. I really pay attention to the way these guys' tendencies and how they play. Let me tell you something about Ingram. Ingram doesn't have an engine. Ingram at times looks like he can be a superstar, and in other games, he looks like a bum. This guy needs to toughen up. Ingram got the talent, but he doesn't have the heart. If you think I'm wrong, watch him play. He plays weak. He doesn't play with that fire. He doesn't have that engine. So New Orleans, do you want this guy? And then on top of that, he is up for a contract this year. Are you willing to re-sign him? So Josh, you named all those guys, right? I'm going to tell you right now. First off, if you New Orleans, I wouldn't want Ball. Don't want that drama, okay? And then Rondo, obviously, he's not going to stay. So they're probably just sign him away or just release him. You know, have like a little contract. Hey, I'll buy out. There you go. Sorry, I'm losing my... They're going to buy him out. So Rondo's not even worth it. Kuzma, okay, you know, you got a shooter, but is it... Let's just go back to it. Would you rather have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics picks? And when you're talking about Celtics picks, you're getting Memphis's first-round pick, which is going to be high. Or the Lakers and all that crap and their 2 first-round picks. Because you know if they get AD, what are their 2 first-round picks going to be? their two first round picks are going to be high, or excuse me, not high, low. They're going to be in the 20s. So I'm going to be honest. I'm going to put the Lakers GM hat on now, okay? I hate the Lakers, but I'm going to put the Lakers GM hat. For the Lakers to do anything to get AD, they need a third team to get involved. They need a third team. Because Josh, I like that you see, Josh, man, you're my boy, dude. I'm glad that you're on the show because you're giving me updates. Because like I said, I don't have a producer yet. I'm not big yet. Like I said, if I get big doing this podcast, great. If I don't, great. I'm going to talk to myself and do it anyway. I love doing sports talks. And I'm glad that you guys are watching. And like I said, I'm going to do this every week about Monday, 2:30. And this is just basic sports talk. It's not RTE sports talk. The RTE sports Mr. Fundamental Game Point will be later on Monday nights around 9 p.m. But this one's just going to be podcast where we talk all sports. Like today, we've talked NFL Super Bowl. We talked NFL Super Bowl commercials. We're talking, you know, who's going to be the team to beat in the NFL. We're talking trades, and now we're in the NBA. And like I said, I'm going to do about an hour show every week, just talking like, you know, like I'm Stephen A. or Mad Dog Sports on Sirius Radio. And if you guys listen, I appreciate it. I'm going to be on the Anchor app. So like after I'm done with the show, I'm going to download the podcast so you can go back to any show you want. I'll be on Spotify, possibly Twitter. Like I said, I'm not good with technology, but my wife says if you go on Twitter, it'd be better. So maybe I'll do that. So I'll be on Facebook Live also, and then YouTube as well. So I'm going to download this to YouTube so you can watch it anytime they want. So like I said, Josh, you tell me. And he did say, I think I would deal with Boston, especially if I get Tatum out of it. Tatum is in position to help my franchise out more than any of the Lakers players right at this moment. Sorry, I had to speak. Like, if you notice, if you're watching me on Facebook, like I had to turn sideways because the comments are sideways. And I know it, on the podcast it's going to sound bad because I'm reading so slow. I think that I know. Like I said, it's a work in progress. I'm going to get better. You guys are going to help me get better because I know you guys that listen to me, you come and talk to me and say, hey, Mr. Fundamental, I liked your show, but I didn't like that you said this. Or like my dad, Low Lolia, he always says, you said 27 times in the show. You got to clean that up. Like my wife says, you need to look at the camera. You ugly. Stop doing that. I get it. I always trying to improve. And the people around me help me. My dad, Josh Rodriguez, even Big Boy Maxie, who listens to almost all my shows. You know, I appreciate it. You know, Josh Rodriguez, my boy, you know, giving me the help. I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm going to do this every week. And I love doing this show. It'll be an hour every week. So let's go back to what we talked about. Obviously, we talked about the Super Bowl. You know, Patriots winning 13-3. I know it wasn't very entertaining from everybody else. It was for me because I'm a Patriot fan. LA Rams, I think, peg them into the Super Bowl next year. I think they're going to be the team to beat in the NFC. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they'll be back. They're getting all the pieces back. They only had a few free agents, like I mentioned earlier. I think it was Ndamukong Suh, Dexter Fowler. They're only free agents they have. Excuse me. So they're bringing back everybody next year. As for the Patriots, you know, as long as Brady and Belichick are still on the team, they're always going to be the team to beat. Kansas City, they're the favorites, as in Vegas right now. I think the one team that Vegas is sleeping on, which I said is going to be my team to watch out for, is the Colts. They have $109 million in cap space, so watch out for them. They're going to make a lot of noise. Your Texans got $64 million, so they can make some noise as well. If they can get themselves, if they can get themselves just another piece on offense, they need another guy that can stretch the field. Hopefully, if Fuller gets healthy, it can help out, but they need a slot guy. If you notice, if you learn anything from the Patriots of the past and the Patriots of now, their biggest threat is the slot receiver. They're the ones that pretty much invented the slot receiver with Wes Walker years back, and that's the guy that moves the chains. Because usually your slot receiver is the guy that can run the best routes, and you saw it last night. Didn't matter who was on him, he ran routes to precision, and he got first downs. And that's what the Texans need to get to the next level. They need a guy that can move the chains, if it be a tight end or a slot receiver. You need those security blankets for your quarterbacks in this league. So the Texans can make some some noise too. And also the Browns, they had a great season last year. They have $79 million, and that's where I think Bell will end up. I think Bell will end up in Cleveland, and he might end up in Indianapolis. So you got to watch out that Brown. I know he wants to go for the San Francisco 49ers, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan would like a guy like that poison. So there, that was our NFL talk today. And like I said, I'm going to set it up better every week. I love it that I can have it on Facebook Live, because that's, I don't have phone lines yet, so I can read the comments and get back with you. Sorry I had to turn sideways. This is my first time doing it. Next time I think I'll just put it up on the computer or a tablet on the side so I can read them a lot better. So like I said, great talk with you guys. I'm going to try to do this every week, Monday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. This will be Game Point with Mr. Fundamental Sports Talk Podcast. It will be on Anchor app, on Spotify, on Facebook Live, and also on my YouTube channel. So check me out every week. I still will have Game Point Mr. Fundamental RTE edition Monday nights around 9. It will change because I've been having committee meetings. As the season starts, I'll be able to do it at 8 p.m. But I think tonight will be 9 p.m. tonight, Central Time. I'm going to talk semifinals UCL. I'll be breaking down both semifinals games on Wednesday night, and we'll go from there. So I appreciate you guys joining me. I hope you guys join me next week. And like I said, this is Game Point, Mr. Fundamental, signing out. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Take care, guys. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.